We're going to read in the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you'll look there with me today. I've had this on my mind for some time, and I will probably be over a few services just be dealing with this theme of the coming of the Lord. And I just pray that our hearts will be stirred to see that this is a reality, and that we're living in the last days, and we're so blessed to be living in these last days. And I know that there's a lot of reasons to think, well, it's dark and it's challenging, but the Lord has called us in His sovereign will to be living in these last days. Amen. To fulfill His purpose for these last days. And so we want to look at several passages of Scripture. I hope you have your Bible with you today, because we're going to read some verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read all 12 verses in this first chapter. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and Paul went there and preached and spent about 3 months in Thessalonica. And during the time that he was there, a church was established, and people that came to the Lord, that were born again, became a part of the church in this city of probably around 200,000 people. This city was known for its worldliness, its love for the world, its being caught up in wealth and riches and pleasure. And he spent those 3 months or so preaching the gospel and establishing the church there. At the end of 3 months, he had to leave because there was such an uprising among the Jews against him and against the message that he was preaching. And so he was literally driven out of the city of Thessalonica. During the time that he was there, there were many converts. One of those converts was a man by the name of Demas. Demas became a follower, a co-worker with the Apostle Paul, and But later on, it was Demas, and the Bible says that he forsook Paul and his ministry team. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. They all have left because they loved this present world. And Demas forsook Paul because of the attraction of the world after him. Now, looking here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the very last verse of that first chapter, it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And then in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, the last verse, actually the last verse of every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, are reminders about the soon coming of the Lord. Verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not we ye even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Verse 13 in chapter 3, it says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And then the last three verses of chapter 4, he's also dealing with the subject of the soon coming of the Lord. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." In the song that Jonathan just sang, a lot of the words in that song came from those last three verses there of chapter 4. And then in the last chapter, chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." So the book of 1 Thessalonians, pretty much the major theme of the entire book, is on the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every chapter, every part of the book, you see, God's plan is, it spans the past, the present, and the future. Those of us as believers, we have, not only do we enjoy the presence of God and the help of God, the grace of God in our daily lives, but we live with a hope beyond this life, the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a major cardinal doctrine of our church. We believe it. We know the Bible teaches it. And we know that it's important that we be ready for the soon coming of the Lord. I was raised up on preaching on the coming of the Lord. I had a pastor, and I've told this many times. My pastor that I grew up under was a man not very well educated, but very anointed. A great man of prayer, and the Lord used him mightily to impact our family. And down through those years, and he had three major themes that he would almost always get to in his sermon. He would probably touch on at least one of these themes in every sermon: the baptism of the Holy Ghost, holiness, living, and then third, the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. So you would hardly hear my pastor preach without him touching on at least one of those topics, and he might even touch on all of them in a lot of his sermons. There are more than 300 prophecies in the scripture related to the first coming of Jesus. And we know that he did come that first time. But there are more than three times that many, more than 900 prophecies related to the second coming of Jesus. So we know that he did come that first time, and we have this wonderful assurance from God's word that he will come again. Amen. And many, many signs, many, many evidences of the coming of the Lord. Actually, in the book of Acts chapter 1 is the account of the birth of the New Testament church. And you're very familiar with Acts chapter 1. That's when Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem, to wait there, to tarry until they were endued with power from on high. He was telling them, don't even attempt to preach the gospel. Don't attempt to establish the church until you are empowered with the Spirit of God in your life. So they went to Jerusalem and they waited. But at the end of that chapter, it describes the ascension of our Lord. And then it describes the fact that many witnesses saw Jesus ascend into heaven. And it says in verse 11, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So the establishment of the church, right in the beginning of the church, and there was this power of the Spirit to initiate the church and to build the church. But there is the reminder that Jesus ascended into heaven, and just the same way that he ascended into heaven, in like manner will he come again. And so the church has this hope that Jesus is going to come very soon. Now, we've all heard the term many times, the word the rapture of the church. And then some would say, well, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Where did it come from? Well, the word rapture comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 7. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. The song that Jonathan sang said, Gabriel. Gabriel was the messenger archangel. And it's Gabriel, likely, that is the archangel with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. The word, the Greek word there for caught up, is the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize or to catch away. Praise God. And that's where we get our word rapture. That word meaning to catch away, to the catching away of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we are living in these last moments of time just before the catching away of the church, the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all of us that are born again, all of us that are saved, then that is going to be a wonderful, wonderful relief. Amen. I think we all are witnesses to the fact that things are getting worse and worse and worse. And we sing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And the reality is, I just believe that God wants us to gradually loose our grip on the things of this world and to recognize that there's going to be a meeting in the air, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. So for all of you that have, all of us do, have loved ones that are already in the grave. I mean, they're in heaven, but their physical body has been buried. And that body is going to be reunited in the clouds with all of the saints of God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to join them to meet Jesus in the clouds. Amen. Does it sound like a fairy tale? Well, it is the Word of God. It is the reality of God's Word. And we need to be considering the fact that we have too much of a grip on the things of this world. We're too attached to the world and to the things of this world. And we need to make preparation for that day that is soon to come. Soon to come. Amen. The catching away of the church. Now we're going to look in Matthew chapter 24. Go back to Matthew 24. Because in this Olivet discourse, Jesus gives a number of evidences, a number of signs that the Lord is going to come. Signs that will remind you, well, the Lord must be coming soon. See all these things coming to pass. Look at verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. The age of the coming of the Lord and the catching away of the church is going to be a day of deception. A day of deception. Have you ever seen a time of greater deception than the time that we're living in right now? I mean, people will deceive you. They will lie to you. And they're not even ashamed of it. I mean, they'll boldly look into a TV camera and lie to millions of people. They're so bold. It's such an age of deception. It's in the political world. It's in every part of our world right now. World leaders, deception. Sad to say, it's even slipped into the church. Recently, there have been many, many prominent pastors that have been exposed to be living a lie. And I don't have to go through all the names of these people. No doubt you have seen some of these things in the news. And I don't mean one, I mean many. And this, it's as if that God is exposing the deceit in a lot of prominent churches and pastors in these last days. Folks, these are days of deception. These are days of deception that we are living in. And this scripture tells us when you see all of this deception going on in our world, and then recognize that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Then let's read on down. Verse 6. This is Matthew 24 and verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Wars and rumors of wars. You know that since World War II, there have been 85 million people that have died in wars. Right now, we're dealing with multiplied wars. Russia, Ukraine war. There have been 14,000 people that have died in the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Millions of casualties in that conflict. Of course, Israel is surrounded by Iran and Lebanon and Palestine and all of these terrorists that are attacking Hamas and Al-Qaeda and all these different forces that are going on. That's just the major wars. There are dozens and dozens of other conflicts in our world. Some civil wars. It's just a time of great unrest and conflict that we're living in right now. Wars and rumors of wars are another sign that we are living in the age of the soon coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to understand that and believe the time that we're living in right now. And let's look on here in verse number 7. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. Famines and pestilences and earthquakes. It's estimated that every 5 seconds, this is pretty incredible information, Every 5 seconds, a child dies in our world because of famine. Now, we're not facing that in the United States of America. We don't know very many nations, but there are nations of the world where there is famine, where there is starvation, where resources are completely depleted, and they're dying, like places like North Korea and Somalia and many other nations of the world where there's starvation and famine that is taking place. A child every 5 seconds is dying from famine in our world right now. Then not only famine, but it says pestilences, which is just a word really that is describing all different types of diseases. I think that the world had a wake-up call in 2020 when we realized that a disease can shut down the whole world. And that's literally what happened with COVID-19. Shut down the entire world. And there are constantly new viruses and new diseases that are being discovered constantly. It's almost every week that you read about some new flu or some new virus that is coming to our world and to our nation. So famine, pestilences are reminders to us of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then it says earthquakes. Interesting that word earthquake there comes from a Greek word that means commotion or stirring. It really is describing natural disasters in our world. And so we're certainly seeing just unbelievable natural disasters that are taking place. What happened in North Carolina is indescribable. It's just unbelievable that folks in Florida, they are always prepared for hurricanes. They have hurricane-proof buildings, hurricane-proof windows. They're ready for it. And so for that reason, many never even leave their home when a hurricane comes. They just say, we're going to ride it out because they're used to it in Florida. But not in North Carolina. Nobody would ever imagine that there could be such an unbelievable downpour of rain and flooding and disaster, and hundreds of lives have been lost, and there are still hundreds missing in all of that natural disaster. All of this is evidence of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. We are living in the last days. And then he also describes in this message that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's talking about persecution against the church. There's never been a time like right now in the great Antichrist spirit that is in our world and even in our country right now. Our nation that is supposed to be a Christian nation, never has there been a time when there has been a hatred for the things of God, a hatred for the Bible, a hatred for Christian principles, and an opposition to that. Worldwide, persecution is at an all-time high. It's never been as bad as it is right now. Open Doors, a missions organization, reports that in 2023, 4,998 people were persecuted and martyred for their cause for serving Jesus Christ. Church properties attacked and destroyed. 14,766 church properties have been attacked. There's never been a time of persecution like we're seeing worldwide right now. One, according to Open Doors, one out of every seven Christians has faced persecution for their faith. We are living in the last moments of time just before the coming of the Lord. Amen. Yes, we are. Amen. Then it says in verse 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Another sign of the last days is people turning away from God, turning away from the church, walking away from their faith, never to come back. Never to come back. According to Pew Research, I know I'm giving you a lot of information this morning. According to Pew Research Group, one third of Christians in America under 30 are walking away from the church and from their faith. One third. There's a whole younger generation that is turning away from their commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ and to their faith in Jesus Christ. All of these things are evidences of the fact that Jesus is coming soon, and we are living in that very time of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to read the Bible. Amen. And read what it says about these last days. But on an encouraging note, in case you're feeling a little overwhelmed and discouraged about the times we're living in, verse 14 says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Praise God. So one of the signs that we are close to the coming of the Lord is a great expansion of the gospel around the world. Praise God for that. Amen. And over the last 40 years, I can remember many years ago, just in particular, one missionary, but many missionaries have talked to me about the great difficulty that they have finding churches and people that were interested in supporting them in their call to missions. And but that has been changing over the years, and I just thank God for that. And that's been changing, and that more and more, even among our Pentecostal and holiness people, the hearts have been changed. And I remember Brother Royce Roy, probably 30-some years ago, that he came, when I was pastoring in Oklahoma, he came, and he was so discouraged because he'd went to several churches, and they didn't seem to have any interest in supporting missions. He told me about going to a particular church where the pastor took him outside and said, look at my new truck, and look at my new boat, and look at my motorhome that I have. And he was amazed at how the pastor was being so prosperous and doing so well. But then when the offering was received for his missions work, it was hardly enough to get him out of town. And he said, I'm just so discouraged trying to get back to Africa because so many people don't have an interest and a burden for the work of the Lord. Folks, I have been involved in this missionary work for all these many years, and I'm telling you, things have changed. Things have changed, and churches have taken on a missionary budget and a missionary burden. And I've noticed it now across the country, among our own Pentecostal movement, that God is stirring the hearts of people up. And it's just evidence that we are living in the last moments of time. An expansion of the gospel of Jesus Christ is going forth, and a lot of people are answering the call. A lot of young people are saying yes to the call of God to carry the gospel all around the world. That, to me, is evidence of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but technology. Technology is playing an important role in this because in the last, 20 years or so, technology has expanded so much that now, even in the most remote places around the world, they have access to technology. And the gospel is getting in to a lot of places where it could not have ever have reached before. And it's all evidences to me of the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to all of the world and to all nations of the world. And I want to be a part of that. Amen? Praise God. I want to be a part of it. The gospel being preached around the world in these last moments of time. Praise God. Amen. The book of Luke chapter 21 and verse 28, it says, and when these things began to come to pass, this Luke 21 is the same message as Matthew 24, and he says, when you see these things come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. Amen. We need to have an upward look. Our gaze needs to be lifted up above the world, the needs, the problems, the struggles that are part of this old world that we're living in right now. And our eyes need to be focused upon Jesus and the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. One more verse of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. Paul speaking to Timothy, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I pray that this service and in some coming services, and that we will be reminded and about the times that we are living in, and they will make preparation, and they will, our hearts, our affections will be set upon the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will look for his appearing, and that we will love his appearing. Amen. Praise God. This world is not my home. My citizenship is in another world. And if you're born again, your citizenship is not in this world, but in another world. Praise God. And we're getting ready to make our move out of this old world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And we need to be prepared. So any of you here today in this service, you're not sure of where you stand. You're not sure where you would stand if Jesus were to come today. Then you can make preparation even now in this service this morning. Amen. Would you stand with me, everybody? The Lord is coming soon. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready for his appearing? I pray that our hearts would be stirred to recognize that Jesus is getting ready, just like he did, in like manner, just as he did when he ascended into heaven. He's getting ready to step out on the clouds. And when he does, there's going to be a trumpet sound. Hallelujah. There is going to be the voice of the archangel that's going to sound, and the whole world is going to be changed. Hallelujah. 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 I'm sure the world, those not saved, they'll have their explanation when the rapture of the church takes place. Their explanation might be, well, you know, we knew that all of those Christians were just a thorn to us. So now somehow human nature has just got rid of all of these Christians, and they're gone. But little do they know that for those that are not saved, those that miss the rapture, for us, it's a blessed hope, but for them, it's a judgment. It's an awful thing to not be ready for the coming of the Lord. So how can you be ready? What qualifies you to be caught up in the rapture? Only one thing. Only one way. You have to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You have to be born again of the Spirit. Amen. You have to be a child of God. Amen. Who's he coming back for? He's coming back for his children. Amen. It's as simple as that. If you are born again, if you are saved, if you know with certainty that you have been born into the family of God, that's what qualifies you. If you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that qualifies you to be caught up. Amen. That wonderful catching away of the church. Hallelujah. So if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, you don't have to leave this service without that assurance. You can know that you are ready to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite everybody to find a place to pray. Invite everyone in.